Like to read the 10 offenses to the holy names which are to be avoided written by Srila Vyasadeva in the Padma Purana. Number one, to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Number two, to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Three, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Four, to blaspheme the Vedic scriptures or scripture in reference to the Vedic version. 5. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be an imagination. 6. To give some introduction to the holy name of the Lord. 7. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. 8. To consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities, Karma Kanda. 9. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. 10. To not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy name and to maintain material attachment even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. It is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting. Every devotee who claims to be Vaishnava must guard against these offenses in order to achieve the desired success, Krishna Prema. Once again, I thank everyone for joining the Bhakti Sangha conference call today. Let us move to our next session, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. May I know who all have joined the call this morning?
Hare Krishna, Madana Mataji. This is Komada Kilasi from Baltimore. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Sri Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj and all the devotees.
Hare Krishna, Komada Kilasi, Dhanvartanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call every day and giving us your association. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vandana Mataji, this is Sukhakar Krishna Das from Chennai. All goes to Prabhupada, all goes to all the devotees of Bhakti Sangha. Thank you for allowing me to join your Sangha. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Sukhakar Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvasmanam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining every day and give us so much enthusiasm. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharajis. My humble obeisances to you and all the devotees. This is Krishna Kumari Devadas.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Kumari Mataji, Dhanvartanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call every day. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Vardhana Mataji. Please accept my obeisances unto you and all the devotees here. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. This is Eka Radhika Lila Devidasi. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Eka Radhika Mataji, Dhanvartanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the assembled devotees. This is Harini Devi Dasi from Mauritius. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Harini Mataji, Dhanvartanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, respected. Vatna Mataji, Dhanvartanam for you and all Vishnam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Vrinda.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji, Dhanvartanam. Please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Srila start the recording.
Yes, Mataji. Go ahead, Mataji. Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 1, Verse Number 11. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvasmanam, please accept my humble obeisances. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Madhavi Dilatma.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna to everyone. Thank you all very much for joining today's session and giving me this opportunity to share on the theme of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let us start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Kunamini. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Karine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today we'll be reading from the 7th canto, 1st chapter, 11th verse. So 7th canto has just started. This is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, addressing this theme of whether the Supreme Lord is actually partial or not. We will read the verse translation and purport and see what we can learn from today. Okay. Kalam charantam rujatisha ashrayam pradana pumbyam naradeva satyakrit. Short verse. O great king, the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and the spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the time, within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality is never under the time factor nor under the material energy. So, actually the verse that is being spoken here by Srila Shukadeva Goswami is a series of is one verse in a very logical series of verses which Srila Shukadeva Goswami speaks to very systematically establish how the Supreme Lord is actually not partial, even though from an external point of view it may seem like that. So that's what he is discussing here. So let's read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, one should not think that the Lord is dependent on the time factor. He actually creates the situation by which material nature acts and by which the conditioned soul is placed under material nature. Both the conditioned soul and the material nature act within the time factor. But the Lord is not subject to the actions and reactions of time, for time has been created by Him. To be more clear, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that creation, maintenance and annihilation are all under the supreme will of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Since Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the controller of everything, when He appears, He is not within the limitations of material time. So, in this verse, the words kalam charantam srijatisha ashrayam indicate that although the Lord acts within time, whether sattvaguna, rajoguna or tamoguna is predominant, one should not think that the Lord is under time's control. So, time is within His control, for He creates time to act in a certain way. he is not working under the control of time. Again here, if you see, again and again there is a mention of the Lord creating time. And the verse itself seems to indicate that Kalam Charantam Srijati. The word Srijati is used. But the word Srijati should be understood to mean not create literally, because time is eternal, time is not created. You know, of the five topics of Bhagavad Gita, Jiva, Ishvara, Prakriti, Kala and Karma, except for Karma, all the other four principles are eternal. So, Kala is eternal. So, the moment you say the Lord creates time, then it means time is not eternal. Right? But when here the word Srijati should mean manifesting time, which is actually eternal. So, like that. Anyways, so he says, the creation of the material world, the creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under his control. Since creation takes place when Rajoguna is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for Rajoguna. He creates the time when he creates the time means he designates which is the time where Rajoguna should be prominent. So creates here in this particular instance, it should refer to he designates. He designates what at what time Rajogun should be prominent, at what time Tamogun should be prominent, and so on. Similarly, he also creates the necessary times for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitations of time. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the supreme controller. Satchidananda Vigraha. He possesses a blissful spiritual body. Anadihi. He is not subordinate to anything. As the Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Nothing can be above Krishna, for he is the controller and creator of everything. The Mayavadi philosophers say that this material world is mithya or false, and that one should therefore not bother about this mithya creation. Brahma Satya Jagan Mithya. This material world is false. It does not exist. So don't bother about something which is only your imagination. That's what they say. But this is not correct. Here it is said, Satyakrit. Whatever is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Satyam Param, cannot be Mithya. It cannot be false. So the Satyakrit, the word Satya means real, and here in this context it refers to the material universe. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, many times you will see that the word Satyam or Satya or Sad is used to indicate universe. In the second canto, in the prayers of Kilashukadeva Goswami, in the very first prayer he says, Sadudbhavastana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shaktis Tritayaya Dehinam. Like that he says. Sad Udbhava Stana Nirodha Leelaya Grihita Shaktis Tritayaya. That the Supreme Lord accepts the three modes for the purpose of creation, maintenance and destruction of Sad. What is that Sad? Material universe. So, the material universe is temporary, but it is not false or unreal. So, like that. So, the cause of creation is Satya. That is, the Supreme Lord is Satya, true. So, how can the effects of the cause be Mithya? How can it be illusion? Of course, the Lord can also create illusion. It is possible. Okay. Otherwise, if the Lord, who is the Lord of everything, if he is unable to create illusion, then that would be, in one sense, a disqualification. Even a magician creates illusion. Can't the Lords create an illusion? Yes, he can create illusion. Right? It is certainly possible for the Supreme Lord to cause illusion. So, one should not say, yes, there is a context to this logic that the Supreme Lord, that Srila Prabhupada is presenting here. The Supreme Lord is Satya. How can that which is created by the Supreme Lord be asatya or illusory or false? But that does not disqualify the Supreme Lord. It does not make him incapable of creating illusion. That is possible for the Supreme Lord. But here, the logic is, the Lord is real, so what he is created, you know, that is also real. You know, that is, and of course, Prabhupada is not just hanging on to that logic. Prabhupada is actually primarily quoting the verse, where the verse itself says the material universe to be satya, real. So that is the primary logic here. The logic that Srila Prabhupada presents, how can the Supreme Lord, who is satya, create something illusory? That's not the primary logic here. The primary logic is Prabhupada directly quoting from the verse, where the verse itself says that the universe is satya, real. Okay. Then, he says that the very word satya krit is used to establish that everything created by the Lord is factual, never false. The creation may be temporary, but it is not false. Okay. So, we will discuss this theme of understanding the Supreme Lord's impartiality. Of course, this might have been the theme which everyone would have presented. But having said that, if we go to four different devotees' house, and let's say in all those four places they feed you khichdi, but in all four places, you know, the khichdi will taste different. It will not taste exactly the same. So in the same way, even though devotees might have spoken on this theme of the Lord's impartiality, so I will make my humble attempt too and see what we can understand from this first section. So basically, we are just going to overview the section. I'm not going to do anything more than that. Just read through it and see what we can understand. Because this lays the foundation for the first 10 chapters of the 7th canto. Primarily, a very, very serious question here asked by Parikshit Maharaj, because this is a serious doubt which may actually alienate people from embracing Vaishnavism, embracing spirituality, perception of partiality. So many times wrong perceptions create doubts, and doubts discourage people from firmly embracing the path of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, this is a very, very critical question that Parikshit Maharaj is asking here after hearing this episode of Diti and Indra and this whole sixth canto. Till sixth canto, he has heard about the Lord killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord killing Hiranyakashipu was well known, but it's going to come very soon. But the Lord killing Hiranyakashipu has already been mentioned before. The Lord killing Hiranyaksha, the Lord killing so many other demons has been mentioned. So at this point of time, Parikshit Maharaj gets a very critical question, which often, as representatives of you know, the movement of bhakti, we will also have to encounter. I mean, of course, we don't wish to learn it to convince others. First, let's learn it to see if we ourselves understand the subject matter very clearly or not. Okay, so let's do a quick overview of this section. But before we do that, what I'm going to do is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur at the beginning of this canto introduces this canto to us. So let us get introduced to this canto, what this canto is going to talk about and all these things. Okay. He says, two types of uti, inclination, are described in the seventh canto. First is the inauspicious arising from the anger of the demons and the auspicious arising from the mercy of the devotees. So, actually, the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are mentioned, you know, you must be remembering. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantara ishanukata nirodho muktir ashrayah. So, there are 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, these 10 topics are 10 topics of not just Srimad Bhagavatam, of all the Mahapuranas, they must have these 10 topics. Sarga means primary creation. Okay, we will of course see, I will just give the plain meaning and then we will try to understand the meanings a little bit more deeply. Visarga means secondary creation. Thanam refers to protection. Thanam also refers to where all the planets are actually situated. Sthanam. Then there is Poshanam. Poshanam refers to the mercy of the Lord. Utayaha refers to material activities. Uti. Uti actually means impetus. Okay. Manvantara means the conduct of the Manus. You know, there are 14 Manvantaras in a day of Brahma. And during that time, how the Manvantaras, the Manus, the Manvantara Avataras, the demigods and all of them together manage this universe that is described. Ishanukata means stories of the Lord. Nirodaha means destruction of the universe. Mukti means liberation. And Ashraya means the ultimate shelter. So these are the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says, Dashamasya Vishuddhyartam Navanam Iha Lakshanam Varnayanti Mahatmanah Shrutena Artena Cha Anjasa. So, Srila Sukadeva Goswami says, Mahatmanah Varnayanti Anjasa. The great devotees properly describe Navanam Iha Lakshanam. These 9 topics are described by great devotees like Vidura and Maitreya. For what purpose? Iha. Iha means in this Bhagavatam, not in any other literature. Only in this Bhagavatam, the other 9 topics are described in such a way. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartam. Vishuddhi means clarity. Artham means for the purpose of. For the purpose of imparting clarity about the 10th topic. For that purpose, the great devotees like Vidura and Maitreya describe the other 9 topics. So which means, of course, I have described this in great detail in one of the earlier sessions. I will not elaborate on this right now. But the point is, Bhagavatam is such an extraordinary literature that only in this book, all these other 9 topics are described in such a way, exclusively to illuminate the 10th topic of Krishna. So all the descriptions, you know, right now the 7th canto has started. The 7th canto is going to describe about Uti. We will see what is Uti. So now he describes Bhuta, Matra, Indriya, Dhyam, Janma, Sarga, Udahritaha, Brahmano, Guna Vaishamyad. So this describes the definition of Sarga. Okay. So he says Sarga Udahritaha. Sarga refers to Janma, means the manifestation of Bhuta. Bhuta means the Pancha Mahabhutas, the gross material elements. Matra means the Tanmatras, Rupa, Rasa, Sparsha, Gandha, Shabda, you know, forms, smell, taste, etc. Indriya means the senses, the karmendriyas and the gyanendriyas. Dhyam refers to, sometimes it refers to intelligence, sometimes it refers to the mahattattva. So, sarga refers to the manifestation of all these elements of universal, all the raw materials for the manifestation of the universe. Janma, their manifestation. How does it manifest? Brahmano guna vaishamyan. Guna vaishamya means transformation of the gunas, agitation of the gunas. When the Lord glances at Prakriti, the gunas which are actually in the initial state very passive, they become active and agitated, after which the whole creation process starts. Brahmano guna vaishamyan. So caused by the Lord, you know, caused when the Lord transforms the gunas, after that all these manifestation, how you know, pradhan manifests into mahattattva, mahattattva you know, transforms, a part of mahattattva transforms into ahankar or false ego, and from the ahankar manifest the five elements, the five tanmatras, the five gyanendriyas, the five karmendriyas, intelligence, mind. All of this is manifested from you know, the ahankar. Brahmano guna vaishamya, you know, when the Lord glances at Prakriti and agitates it to through the time factor, when the Lord glances at Prakriti, the glance has two elements, jiva along with his karma and swabhava, and kala, time. Kalad gunavyatikaraha karmano, kalad gunavyatikaraha parinama swabhavataha karmano janma mahataha purushadishtitadabhu, like that it is mentioned in the second canto. You know how time agitates the three gunas, guna vaishamyan, gunavyatikara. Elsewhere in the third canto it is mentioned, talking about the nature of time, it is mentioned gunavyatikarakaro kalo, like that it is mentioned. The nature of one of the characteristics of time is to agitate the three gunas who are passive. Okay. So when the three gunas are agitated, then the transfer, when they transform into manifestation, manifesting all these elements which act as raw materials for creation, that is called as sarga. Visarga paurusha smritaha. So visarga refers to creation of the bodies for the jivas, which is carried out by Brahma and the Prajapati, secondary creation. Okay. Stitir Vaikunta Vijayaha. Stiti or Sthanam, this is the third topic, refers to the Lord protecting his devotee, or the Lord's generic protection of all the living entities by awarding a place for them to stay. Vaikunta Vijayaha. Vaikunta Vijayaha. So this shows the excellence of the Lord, where the Lord has a place allotted to every living entity even before the living entity receives his body. That is Thanam, the 14 planetary systems. Okay. Poshanam Tad Anugraha. Poshanam means the Lord's mercy. Manvantarani Saddharma. Manvantara refers to the conduct of the kings ruling the Manvantara periods. You know, how they ruled, how they instituted, proper justice and governance and everything. And now, the fifth topic is, even though it is mentioned sixth here, is Uti, which is the subject matter of the seventh canto. The third canto talks about primarily Sarga, fourth about Visarga, fifth about Sthanam, the Vedic cosmology, sixth about Poshanam, how the Lord specifically takes care of the devotees, that is Poshanam, that is described in the sixth canto. Uti means impetus for performing an activity. So the impetus comes from our impressions, past impressions. As soon as we look at a rasgulla, our mouth starts salivating and we wish to go and pick it up and pop it in our mouth. Why? Because there is a past experience of eating, enjoying and relishing it. So therefore he defines uti, utaya karma vasana. Uti refers to the impressions created by the jiva's actions which lead them to future births. This is the very technically sound definition of uti. Uti refers to the karma vasana, the impressions created by the jiva's past actions which lead them to future births. Okay, like that. So now he says uti refers to the impressions produced by action, those things which are accomplished by actions. It refers to the impressions arising from actions, either low actions or high actions, which means impious or pious actions. Pious or impious acts become the cause of future happiness and distress. Within the condition of the jivas in this world, the nature of the high and low jivas is described. Then he talks about the seventh topic. Atrasa go visargasya sthanam poshanam utaya manvantara ishanukata. Seventh topic. Avataranu charitam harescha asya anuvartinam pumsam ishakata prokta nana akhyana upabrimhitaha. Ishakata refers to the description of the Lord's avatars and their devotees filled with various stories. You know, stories of the Supreme Lord and his devotees filled with a lot of short stories. This is especially, you know, the ninth canto, you will see a lot of short stories there. And Nirodho asya anushayanam atmanah sahashaktibhi muktir hitva anyata rupam swarupena vivastitihi. Okay, I'm not going to elaborate on these things because I have something else in mind. So he says, Nirodha atmanah anushayanam. Nirodha refers to the merging of the jiva, saha shakti bihi, along with his material identity, into the Lord at the time of final devastation of the universe. You know, when Nirodha means when the grass body, subtle body, everything is taken away from the jiva and it's merged into the body of the living entity, and the jiva also separately merges into the body of Mahavishnu. This is Nirodha. Of course, there are many different types of Nirodha. The dissolution at the time of, the annihilation at the time of Brahma's end of the day, annihilation at the time of Brahma's end of life. Death is a kind of annihilation, like that. Muktir hitva anyata rupam swarupena vivastiti. Mukti refers to the jiva's attainment of his pure form as Atma or as an associate of the Lord. So this refers to Sayujya Mukti for a person practicing jnana and he becomes an associate of the Lord. This refers to for the devotee when he achieves perfection of his bhakti and reaches prema. Hitva anyatarupam, after giving up the material bodies, attaining perfection, that is mukti. And then he says, abhasascha nirodascha yatosti adhyavasiyate sa ashraya param brahma paramatmeti shabdyate. So then he talks about the 10th topic, the ashraya, Bhagavan, yato asti adhyavasiyate, from whom arise abhasascha nirodascha, starting from sarga to nirodha. The other 9 topics are there only so that through these 9 topics, the 10th topic can be illuminated. The purpose for which the other 9 topics are there in all these literatures is ashraya. He is the one who gives shelter to all these other 9 topics. So, param brahma, paramatma iti shabdyate, and this ashraya Bhagavan is also called as paramatma and brahman, you know. By those people who understand the absolute truth in an incomplete way, they actually see the or address the Supreme Lord or understand the absolute truth as either Paramatma or Brahman, like that. So we saw that here he says two types of, so seventh canto talks about the fifth topic, which is Uti. Utaya karma vasana, the past impressions which impel one to perform current activities. Okay, so he says inauspicious impressions arising from anger of the demons and auspicious arising from the mercy of the devotees. So here he says, as we saw that Srila Vishnu Chakradakur introduces the canto to us, this canto also glorifies devotees of three types: Shuddha Bhaktas, Karma Mishra Bhaktas and Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, and Bhakti Mishra Karmis and Bhakti Mishra Jnanis. So Shuddha Bhakti is described in the first 10 chapters of the 7th canto through the episode of Prahlad Maharaj. Okay. And the mixed devotional service and Karma Jnana Yoga, etc., is described in the last 5 chapters in the discussion between Narada Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj about Varnashrama. Okay. Which is practiced by mixed devotees. The inclinations of Hiranyakashipu, which were inauspicious, were inborn. The Uti, the Asuric Uti, the Asuric impetus that was seen in Hiranyakashipu were inborn, and the cause was the ancient anger of the Kumaras. Of course, the cause was also the desire of Jay and Vijaya to assist with the Supreme Lord, to assist the Supreme Lord in his pastimes of chivalry, Virya Rasa. So he says, the inclination for pure bhakti of Prahlad, his son, which was very auspicious, arose from accepting the mercy from Narada's feet. So while he was within the womb of his mother, hearing Narada Muni's narration became the impetus for him to practice bhakti. That bhakti which appears within the devotees gave rise to the Lord's mercy upon him and protected him from the king. The creeper of bhakti, growing in a great field composed of humility, respect and other qualities, is nourished by the devotee by watering it through hearing and chanting. Shravana Kirtana Jale Kareye Shechan. So through Shravan Kirtan, which happened to Prahlad Maharaj while he was within the womb of his mother, it created these favorable impressions of practicing bhakti. So the topics of 10 chapters is pure bhakti, the first 10 chapters. Then chapter 11 to 15, the last 5 chapters, show how bhakti attained through a guru of similar bhakti is a minor element of karma or jnana. So if bhakti becomes a minor element of karma or jnana, it becomes karma yoga or jnana yoga, or a major element which is a mixture of karma and jnana. In this case, it becomes karma mishra bhakti or jnana mishra bhakti, in order to attain one's respective goals. So these different practitioners have different goals, and that bhakti element in that practice becomes the cause of their attaining that goal. This is described in the last 5 chapters. Okay. Anyways, I don't wish to go through the whole thing. Now let's directly go to, I took some extra time in this introduction. So let me see. I will try to at least rush through and at least focus on the main part. So Parikshit Maharaj has just now heard about the description in the 6th canto, which he feels that can be misunderstood by people. People may misunderstand the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in order to clear the way, and when doubts are sown, and if doubts are not addressed, they actually weaken the faith. Ashraddhadana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa apraapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani, as Krishna says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that one who lacks faith in this path of bhakti or any path for that matter, he will not attain success. Agnyascha ashraddadanascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam lokos tinaparo nasukam samshayatmana. Elsewhere in the fourth chapter, Krishna says that lack of faith is a serious problem. It will not lead to attainment of success. So therefore, doubts have to be settled as soon as it arises. It should be nibbed in the bud. Okay. So here he says, Parikshit Maharaj asks, samaha samapriyasu hridbrahman bhutanam bhagavan swayam indriyarte katam daityan avadidvishamo yata. So he says, O Brahmana, O Shukadeva Goswami, katam bhagavan swayam, how could the Supreme Lord, bhutanam smrid, who is considered to be the best friend of all living entities, he's supposed to be the best friend of all the living entities, samam, we hear that he is very equal to everyone, priyaha, he is very affectionate to everyone. So how could that same Supreme Lord, who is supposed to be the best friend of all, equal to all, affectionate to all, avadi daityan, kill only the demons, indrasya arte, always for supporting Indra, vishamo yata, as if partial. He is not asking, why is the Supreme Lord partial? Okay. That means concluding. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, why is something like partiality perceived in the Supreme Lord? Which means he is seeking clarification. Is it partiality? It seems like partiality. If the Lord is equal to all, why is it seen that he is always killing the demons and always favoring the demigods? Is he partial? This is the question. So what led to Parikshit Maharaj asking this question? He says, in the previous canto, it was said that Diti, whose two sons had been killed by Vishnu after he was instigated by Indra, burned with anger, inflamed by lamentation. We saw Diti became completely disturbed. She wanted to kill Indra. Parikshit, as if not tolerating partiality of Vishnu. It's not that Parikshit Maharaj is not tolerating partiality of Vishnu, but Parikshit Maharaj cannot tolerate others perceiving Lord Vishnu to be partial. That is the real meaning. He cannot tolerate others, improperly perceiving this Lord Vishnu to be partial towards Indra. Okay. But actually understanding the truth, desire to relish the nectar of the conclusion from the mouth of Shukadeva, even though he knew that the Lord was not partial, the Lord was always just, but still he wanted to hear from the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, because when the same subject matter is presented by a more realized soul, the depth and the strength of that realization hits the person really hard and it sinks very deep. So he wanted to hear a very systematic, deep, realized explanation of how is it that the Lord seems to be always favoring the demigods and he is acting against the demons. Therefore, he asked this question in three verses. If the Lord is equal, how can he show partiality? If he is affectionate to all beings, why is the Lord not affectionate to the demons? If he is the friend of all beings, why is he not friendly to the demons? This is all perceived. You have to explain it. Nahyasyartasuraganaihi sakshad nishreyasatmanah naivasurebhyo vidvesho no dvegaschagunasyahi. So in the next verse he says, I can't see any reasonable reason for this kind of an action by the Supreme Lord. So he says that that Sakshad Nishreyasa Atmana. The Lord is Atma Ram. He is Sachidananda Vigraha. He has a form of pure bliss. Which means, Nahi Asya Artaha Suraganaihi. Which means he has nothing to gain from the demigods. So which means by siding with the demigods, he does not gain anything because he is Atma Ram. He is already self-satisfied. And Agunasya, being without any material modes, na eva vidveshaha, he has no hatred, na udvegaha, and no fear, asurebhyo, of the demons. Okay. Fear comes from mode of ignorance, and hatred. Fear, hatred, these come from mode of passion and ignorance, but the Lord is aguna, he is beyond the three modes. So therefore, because he is Atma Ram, he does not gain anything from the Devatas. Therefore, there seems to be no tangible reason for him to side with the Devatas. And he is Aguna, beyond the three modes. So therefore, where is the question of the Supreme Lord being afraid of or having hatred towards the demons? This is not possible. Okay. So, then he says, Itinassu Mahabhaga Narayana Gunan Prati Samshayassu Mahanjataha Tadbhavam Chetumarhati. Oh, greatly fortunate, says Shukadeva Goswami, Bhavan Chetum Arhati. Definitely, you should cut down Naha Sumahan Samshaya, this great doubt of mine. Jataha Narayana Gunan Prati, which has arisen regarding the favoritism and ill will of Narayana. You know, I really want this to be clarified. Please clear this doubt of mine. So Shukadeva Goswami starts answering this question. First, he appreciates Parikshit Maharaj for asking such a question. He says, Sadhu Prishtam Maharaja Hares Charitam Adbhutam Yad Bhagavata Mahatmyam Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam Giyate Paramam Punyam Rishibir Naradadibihi Natva Krishnaya Munaye Kata Yishye Hare Katam. So he says, O Maharaja, O King Parikshit, Sadhu Prishtam, you have asked a very appropriate question. Yad Harehe Adbhutam Charitam, because in response to this question, the astonishing activities of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam, which has the capacity to enhance the devotion of the devotees, Bhagavata Mahatmyam, and also this, in response to this question, there is an opportunity to glorify the devotees of the Lord, Giyate. So if I have to answer your question, you know, I will have to essentially glorify the astonishing activities of the Lord, and I will have to glorify the devotees, and naturally hearing such a narration will increase the devotion of the devotees. Paramam punyam naradadivi rishibhi, which are sung by great sages like Narada. I have to narrate this. Natva krishnaya munaye katayishye hare katam. By offering my respectful obeisances unto Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, my father and guru, I will speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way he offers obeisances, and appreciating Parikshit Maharaj for asking such a relevant question, which is going to give rise to topics of the astonishing activities of the Lord and the glories of the Lord's devotees. He's very inspired to speak about this Bhagavad Bhakti Vardhanam, which has the capacity to increase one's devotion towards the Supreme Lord. Therefore, I am very excited to speak about this. I am going to speak about this. So from the 6th verse onwards till the, you can say, 12th verse, in 7 verses, he very beautifully presents the conclusion of, is the Lord partial, or how do you reconcile this perception of partiality in the Supreme Lord? Very interesting, very deep presentation. So please, you know, for the next half an hour or so, please be a little attentive, and let's try to quickly cover this. నిర్గుణోపి హ్యజో వ్యక్తో భగవాన్ ప్రకృతే పరః స్వమాయాగుణమావిశ్య బాధ్య బాధగతాం గతః. భగవాన్ నిర్గుణః అపి, ఈవన్ దో ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఇస్ బియాండ్ మెటీరియల్ క్వాలిటీస్, అజః ఈవన్ దో హీస్ అన్బార్న్, అవ్యక్తః ఈవన్ దో హీస్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్, యూ కెనాట్ సీ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ విత్ మెటీరియల్ ఐస్, ప్రకృతేః పరః ఈవన్ దో హీస్ సుపీరియర్ టు మ్యాటర్, బట్ స్టిల్ స్వమాయా గుణం ఆవిశ్య, హీ స్టిల్ ఎంటర్స్ ఇన్ టు మ్యాటర్ విచ్ ఇస్ మానిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఓన్ మాయా. ఈవెన్ దో ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ నిర్గుణ, హీ ఎంటర్స్ ఇన్ టు మ్యాటర్ విచ్ ఇస్ మేడ్ ఆఫ్ త్రీ గుణస్. ఈవెన్ దో హీస్ అన్బార్న్, హీ సీమ్స్ టు టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ మ్యాటర్. ఈవెన్ దో హీస్ అన్మానిఫెస్ట్, he seems to be manifest through matter. Even though he is superior to matter, he still seems to enter matter. Okay, badya badagatam gataha, and he appears to be the cause of subordination or prominence of a guna. It looks like the Lord, by entering into matter, seems like he is influencing matter and making some matter shine and some matter get subdued, some guna to become prominent, some guna to be subdued. It looks like he is personally doing it. Okay, so he says, situated in the gunas, he seems to be the cause of weakness or strength of a guna. The quality of unequal vision is imposed on the Lord, the controller of the gunas, because it seems like the Lord is always favoring the sattva guna. Therefore, there seems to be some partiality. Does the Lord like sattva more than rajas or tamas? Even though all three are material gunas, why is it that the Lord seems to be favoring the sattva gunas, sattva guna always? Now, this perception. Okay. So he says that the Lord, even though without material qualities, unborn, unmanifest, superior to matter, still he enters into matter, and it appears that he becomes the cause of subordination of a particular guna or prominence of a particular guna. It looks like that. Okay. Then he continues. Sattvam rajastamaiti prakriter natmano gunaha natesham yugapad rajan rasa ullasa evava. So he says, sattvam rajaha tamaha, sattva rajas tamas, prakritehe gunaha, they belong to prakriti, na atmano, it does not belong to the Supreme Lord. The three gunas belong to prakriti and not the Supreme Lord. But you may say, oh, but prakriti belongs to the Supreme Lord only, right? Yes, but it does not belong to his swarupa. It is his bahiranga shakti, not his swarupa shakti. ఓ రాజన్, ఓ కింగ్, నతేషాం రాస ఉల్లాస ఏవవ, అండ్ దే డు నాట్ ఇంక్రీస్ ఆర్ డిక్రీస్ యుగపత్ సైమల్టేనియస్. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత, రజస్సత్వం తమశ్చైవ తమస్సత్వం రజస్తత. యు నో దర్ ఇస్ ఆల్వేస్ అ కాంపిటీషన్ బిట్వీన్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్. సమ్ టైమ్స్ సత్వ ఇస్ ప్రామినెంట్, రజస్ అండ్ తమస్ ఆర్ సబ్డ్యూడ్. సమ్ టైమ్స్ రజస్ ఇస్ ప్రామినెంట్, సత్వ అండ్ తమస్ ఆర్ సబ్డ్యూడ్, అండ్ సో ఆన్. సో నా ఆల్ ద త్రీ గుణాస్ డు నాట్ rise, increase or decrease at the same time. Okay, so there is always a particular guna is more prominent than the other gunas. Okay, and these gunas belong to the Supreme Lord, belong to the Prakriti and not the Supreme Lord. He says, in his swarupa, the Lord is at all times equal, because the material energy is not his swarupa shakti. Okay. In his swarupa, the Lord is at all times equal. The gunas belong to prakriti and do not influence the Lord. Because anything that belongs to the swarupa shakti, it can influence the Supreme Lord. Anything that is belonging to the bahiranga shakti, it does not. Anything that is not swarupa shakti cannot influence the Supreme Lord. Okay. This means that even though prakriti is a shakti, it does not arise from his swarupa. So therefore, the Lord is not the direct cause of the three modes. He is the cause of the three modes through his external energy, Bahiranga Shakti. And because it is external, it does not affect his internal self, his Swarupa. Is not affected by the three modes. Okay. So then he says, Jayakale tu sattvasya devarshin rajaso suran tamaso yaksha rakshamsi tatkalanuguno bhajat. Sattvasya tu jayakale. Whenever sattva becomes prominent, deva rishin, the Lord favors the devatas and sages. Whenever sattva becomes prominent, you know, what is that verse in the 17th chapter? Yajante sattvika devan yaksharakshamsi rajasan pretan bhutaganan chanye yajante tamasajana, as in the 17th chapter Krishna says, those in sattva guna seems to be attracted to the devatas and they worship them. Those in rajoguna, you know, yaksha rakshamsi, you know, the rakshasas, yakshas, etc. And so on, like that. So he says, when sattva becomes prominent, the Lord favors the devatas and the sages. Rajasaha to jayakale. And when rajas becomes prominent, he favors the demons. And the demons become, they become very powerful. When tamas becomes prominent, tamasastu jayakale, yaksharakshamsi, he favors the yakshas and rakshasas. Abhajat tat kala anugunaha. The Lord always seems to act according to the dictates of time. The Lord always seems to act according to the dictates of time. So therefore, it's not that the Lord is always favoring the demigods and he is actually you know, against the demons. It's not like that. When it is time for sattva to be prominent, he favors the devatas and rishis. When it is time for rajas, the demons. When it is time for tamas, yakshas and rakshasas. Like that. So he says, the perceived inequality of the Lord is due to the inequality of the gunas. This inequality is caused by time. He is not partial. He is just acting according to the time. So he says, the inequality of the Lord seen everywhere is based on the inequality of the gunas according to their increase or diminution. Diminution and increase do not occur for one guna at the same time, but in sequence. Kramena. It is not Yugapat. So Yugapat means at the same time. Decrease is caused by oppression by the other gunas and increase is caused by oppressing the other gunas. So when it is time for sattva, sattva oppresses rajas and tamas. But when the day progresses, sattva gets oppressed by rajas. Like that. Okay. By decrease or increase of the gunas, one can infer the decrease or increase of devatas, demons or rakshasas. So he says, where is the question of partiality? When it is time for sattva, the Lord favors devatas. When it is time for rajas, demons and so on. But because the gunas themselves are insentient, they are jada. They cannot increase or decrease by themselves. The Lord must enter as their controller. The Lord must enter as their controller. Because the modes in themselves are not, they are insentient. So when sattva becomes prominent, he favors the devatas and sages. As much as sattva becomes prominent, the body suitable for sattva become prominent, which means there will be the devatas, the number of devatas may increase and the power of the devatas may increase like that, or even the brahmanas like that. So entering into their bodies, The Lord increases their strength and restricts the demons and rakshasas. So as Paramatma, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. As the Supreme Lord, He is present in everyone's heart, and He is empowering them. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam. Or Paurusham drishu, He acts as the Purushatva, or the of that particular species, of that particular gender, etc. Right? And when Rajas becomes prominent, He favors the demons. When Tamas becomes prominent, He favors the Yakshas and Rakshasas. He acts in accordance with time. Kala, Kala Anuguno, Kala Anuguno. You know, following the time. So the cause of increase of a guna is time, not the Lord Himself. So the Lord is not partial. You know, the cause is time. When it is time for a particular guna to become prominent, that guna becomes prominent. When that guna becomes prominent, automatically the Lord as Paramatma empowers that particular species which has a predominance of that particular guna. Sattva for devatas, rajas for demons, and so on. Then He gives an example. Jyotiradir ivabhati sanghata navivichyate vidantyatmanam atmastam matitva kavayontataha. So He says, Jyotihi adihi iva abhati. The Lord resides in all beings just as fire resides in wood, water resides in a cup, and ether resides in a pot. Okay. Fire resides in wood. So the Lord resides in all beings. He resides in devatas also. He resides in the rakshasas also. He resides in the demons also. Just as fire resides in wood, water resides in a cup, or ether resides in a pot. Na vivichyate. But He is not perceived. Sanghatat. When one sees the material bodies. When you see the body of a devata or a demon, you cannot see the Supreme Lord. But kavayo vidanti, but intelligent people, they know atmanam atmastam, that the Paramatma is situated in all the beings. Matitva, by inferring Him through the effects. Antataha, after discarding all kinds of false doctrines, they understand that, oh, the Supreme Lord is there inside. So here, this is a very important purport. Just hear it carefully. So He says, an example is given to show how, with the increase or decrease of a guna, the body suitable to that guna increase or decrease. Okay. So, like, let's say, fire is sattva guna. Wood is sattva guna. Fire is the devatas. When the quantity of wood increases, the fire also increases. Similarly, when sattva increases, the population of the devatas increases. So He says, fire is latent in wood, water is in a cup, and ether is in a pot. When there is more wood, there is more fire. When there is less wood, there is less fire. When there is more sattva, the devatas become more powerful, there are more devatas. When there is less wood, less fire. When there is less sattva, the devatas become weaker and there are less devatas. So He says that one does not call this inequality. Similarly, when there is more sattva encouraging to devatas, there are more forms of devatas. At that time, rajas favoring the demons decreases, because you say, all the three gunas do not increase at the same time. It is kramena, sequential. Now when it is time for sattva to increase, the devatas become more powerful and there are less demons, because sattva is not favoring the demons. If the demons are suppressed and the devatas are the suppressors, one can say that the Lord favors the devatas and disfavors the demons. So at such a time, you may see that, oh, the Lord is favoring the devatas, He is not favoring the demons. But this is not all the time. After some time, when rajas increases, then one can say that the Lord favors the demons and He disfavors the devatas, because now the demons have become powerful. There historically there have been times when devatas have been powerful and they have overpowered the demons. And historically you also see that the demons have been powerful and they have overpowered the devatas. So from the common viewpoint, this may seem like favoritism, but it is not. For when sattva becomes prominent, the Lord favors the devatas. And when sattva is not prominent, he does not favor them. So in the example, we can understand by our intelligence that fire resides in wood. Do we perceive the Lord in the bodies of the devatas, demons and rakshasas? So even though fire resides in wood, but we do not perceive it. Similarly, even though the Lord resides in the bodies of the devatas and demons and rakshasas, do we perceive the Lord? So he says, by seeing the bodies of the devatas and others, one cannot conclude the Lord's existence. The Lord is not perceived like others. Then how do we know that he favors some person? How do you know that the Lord is favoring someone? Okay. So the skillful people know that Paramatma by inferring him through the effects. What are the effects? He says, they know at the end, after rejecting theories like Swabhavavad and Karmavad, you know, the unfavorable theories they reject and they accept the right understanding. So he says, the Lord favoring Indra sometimes kills the demons in sight of everyone. You see, this is a very important part. Please hear this very carefully, because you never see the Lord killing the demigods. You see him killing the demons. You see him clearly favoring the demigods. You never see him favoring demons. This is a very powerful argument. Okay. We very clearly see the Lord favoring the demigods, but it is never seen, even though sometimes the demons are powerful and they defeat the demigods, but you never see the Lord favoring the demons. That is never seen. Why? So then how can you say that the Lord favors the demons? It more seems like the demons won despite the Lord favoring the demigods. It seems more like that rather than that the Lord is actually favoring the demons. You know, that is never seen. Why? So he says, this is a very important point. Please hear this carefully. The Lord favoring Indra sometimes kills the demons in sight of everyone. When rajas and tamas increase sometimes, the Lord favors the demons and rejects the devatas. If this were so, it would make his equality perfect. Yes, if he sometimes rejects the demons, sometimes if he rejects the devatas, then you can clearly say that, okay, he is equal. But this is not seen. How do you explain this? So therefore, here he says, Jyotiradihi Iva means just like elements such as fire, which have the sense objects of form, taste, smell and touch existing within them. These are visible in objects, but because of the combination, they are not clearly visible, even though they are still present within. The Lord is visible to various degrees in this world, in the devatas and asuras. And he resides internally. Because of predominance of sattva and not being covered by it, the sense object called form is perceived in the light. So the point that is being made is that the nature of sattva is clarity. But rajas and tamas to various degrees covers. That is the nature of rajas and tamas. So the presence of the Lord is more clearly seen when he is favoring the devatas. Because when he is favoring the devatas, it is time for sattva guna to be prominent. And the nature of sattva guna is clarity. So you can see the Supreme Lord favoring them. But the same Supreme Lord favoring the demons and the rakshasas is not very clearly seen, because at that particular time, rajoguna is prominent and tamoguna is prominent. And the nature of rajoguna and tamoguna is to cover. So therefore, it is not very clearly seen how the Supreme Lord is actually favoring them. That is because of the nature of the modes. That's all. But you can see the Lord's presence by empowering the demons. Shabdakke Paurusham Rishu. The Lord is actually the power of everyone. So as Paramatma, he is enhancing them. So that may not seem like an explicit help because of the nature of Rajogun and Tamogun, which covers. So one may not obviously see the Lord favoring the demons. That is because of the modes, that's all. Like that. So he says, because of the prominence of Sattva in the Devatas and not being covered by Sattva, the Supreme Lord within them manifests as the form of Upendra very clearly. Because when it is time for the Devatas to be prominent, because the Sattva Guna is prominent and Sattva doesn't cover the Lord, therefore clearly you see Vamana Dev helping the Devatas. It is very explicitly seen. But because of the prominence of Tamas and Rajas in water and other elements and being covered by those Gunas, sound, touch, smell and taste are not clearly visible in them. Similarly, because of the existence of some Sattva with Rajas and Tamas and thus the impossibility of being completely covered over, there is perception of sense object when the object comes in contact with the gross sense organ. Okay, I will not go over this example in detail because we don't have time. But the point is that he says that similarly, because the predominance of Rajas and Tamas in the demons and Rakshasas and being covered by those Gunas, the Lord within them is not clearly seen as favoring them, but actually he is favoring them. So he says, if the sun is covered by clouds, the clouds is compared to mode of passion and mode of ignorance. And not by sunshine, sunshine is compared to mode of goodness. When the sun is covered by clouds, then it is not very visible. If it is covered by clouds, if it is not covered by clouds but is covered with sunshine, it is very visible. Sun is the Supreme Lord. So he says, the Lord favoring the demons is not very explicitly seen because at that time Rajogun and Tamogun is very prominent. Similarly, if the Lord is covered by Tamas, then he is not visible. And if covered by Sattva, he is visible. Okay. Well, with lack of clear perception of Lord's partiality to the demons, how can we know it exists? Okay. When Vamanadeva comes, cheats Bali Maharaj, hands over the kingdom to Indra, very clear, there is very clear visibility of partiality of the Supreme Lord. But you may say, Rajogun is covering, Tamogun is covering, but there is no clear vision of the Lord favoring the demons and Rakshasas. So how can we be sure that at some times the Lord is partial to the demons? So he says, the wise people understand its existence by seeing the effects, such as the Devatas being defeated. Sometimes the Devatas are defeated. Otherwise, if the Lord is favoring the Devatas, can anyone defeat the Devatas? So from that you can understand like that. Okay, now we are almost there. Just give me a few minutes. Okay, yesterday's verse. Yada yada sasrikshu pura atmana paro rajas rajatyesha prataksvamayaya sattvam vichitra suridam surishvaraha shayasyamanastama irayatyasau. When the Lord desires to create the bodies of the jivas, he manifests rajas by his energy. When he desires to have pastimes of maintenance, he manifests sattva. When he desires to destroy, he inspires tamas. So this is further explanation of how everything is decided by time. When it is time for creation, he manifests rajogun. When it is time for destruction, tamogun. When it is time for maintenance, sattva guna. Like that. Okay. And then today's verse. But still, he says, O King, the Supreme Lord, the creator of the real universe, Satyakrit, Kalam Srijati, he creates time. So by mentioning Kalam Srijati, because till now, it seemed Kala Anugataha. So he is the follower of time. He is controlled by time. It seemed like that. But now he says, Kalam Srijati, he creates time. Charantam, he acts as a cause. So, and this time which acts as a cause, Isha Ashrayam, this Kala Shakti is one insignificant energy of Krishna. And it acts according to the, it acts as an assistant to the Lord. So therefore, one should not say that the Lord is actually subservient to time. Okay. The Lord is not subservient to time. So he says, the previous verse mentioned that when the Lord desires to create, he manifests rajas. This would imply that the Lord is controlled by time. You know, the verse says, you know, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever there is a decrease of dharma or increase of adharma, you know, I appear. It looks like time or circumstances is forcing the Lord. But no, it is not. So this verse rejects that idea. The Lord creates time, which acts as the cause of assisting the Lord. This is called as the nimitta karan, or the effective cause of this universe is time. Since time is a form of his action. So the meaning is this. When the Lord desires to create by his own will, the time for creation which increases with the increase of rajas, that appears. So the Lord is not bound by time. Rather, it is time which is bound by the desire of the Supreme Lord or the free will of the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord desires to maintain, the time for protection with the increase of sattva appears. And when he desires to destroy, the time of destruction with increase of tamas appears. So these particular times are created by the Lord. Like that. So, therefore, the Lord is not governed by time, but he is the one who governs the time. Okay. So, he says, thus the meaning should be, when the time of creation appears, then creation takes place. But, when means what? When refers to a special time which is desired by the Supreme Lord. The Lord desired. This should be the time. So it was also said that the time of prominence of sattva, the devatas are favored. This again may indicate that the Lord is dependent on time. No, but this verse refutes that conception. Time exists along with Maya Shakti and its expansions because he is their cause. He is independent. The Lord is independent. Okay, like that. So, so he's talking about, you know, about the false philosophy, how one does not accept that false philosophy. Okay. So finally, he concludes by telling that, O King, I will just read the summary. Time is the cause of predominance or suppression of particular gunas and not the Lord. Since time is the product of the Lord, the nature of the product is applied to the Lord as well. Okay. Actually, it is the time which is the cause of increase of a particular guna and decrease of a particular guna. And when a particular guna increases, particular persons seem to be favored. And when that particular guna decreases, when it is time for that particular guna to decrease, then those particular personalities are seem to be not favored. So this is not partiality. This is time. And because time is a product of the Lord, therefore sometimes that which is the nature of time is ascribed to the Supreme Lord. Therefore sometimes he is said to be very partial, but he is not. Okay. Anyways, so I think I will pause here. We should have some time for some discussion points or questions. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will take just a few minutes for some questions. Okay. Mother Gail.
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. Yeah, I just want to know if my language is correct. So, as you said, time is eternal, so it's not that Krishna creates it. So, would it be correct to say that when it's time for sattva to be prominent, then Krishna is the one who manifests the time for sattva or something like that. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. That is one understanding. And when it is, when the creation starts, that's when time as an energy is let loose also by the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, when he wants creation to start, that's when he determines that now is the time for Rajas to be prominent.
Yeah, but it seems like the Lord is bound by time because there is perfect periodicity. Because when you say, when would you see the Lord is not being bound by time? When there is some whimsical action, when there is a breakage of time. But there is very clear-cut periodicity, which seems to indicate that the Lord is bound by time. But it is the Lord who decided this periodicity. So therefore, he is the controller of time. Like that.
Yeah. Okay, Prabhu, thank you. Can those in the mode of goodness, right, see, or are they at all hampered during times of Rajas and Tamas in being able to see Krishna clearly?
Yeah, there will be the influence of the modes, even though internally, the modes exist internally and externally. So internally, even though they may be in predominantly in mode of goodness, but externally, due to the haze created by the predominance of Rajas and Tamas, may sometimes hamper, but still if they are strong in sattva internally, still they will be able to see. That's why it is mentioned that the wise people see through the
inference.
Yeah, they infer. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I don't know what that means to say that externally there is the presence of these clouds of Rajas and Tamas, because the modes are subtle, they're not gross. So, I don't know what that would mean,
Yeah, but still, there is internal Rajas, Tamas, Sattva, and externally also you see during that day, the external influence is also there. Early morning, there is, you can clearly see externally a predominance of sattva. Irrespective of whatever may be one's internal mode, you can see very clearly the external influence. Similarly, at night, there is a predominance of tamas, like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, that part is not so clear for me, but that's due to my tamas. But anyway, one last thing is, the sattva is to the devatas as rajas is to demons and rakshasas, and tamas is who is prominent for tamas? Okay,
The rajas is demons, asuras, and tamas is rakshasas and yakshas. That's how it is mentioned here.
Oh, wait a minute. Rajas, you said, is demons and who else?
Or just asuras, demons? Asuras.
But asuras are demons. The same thing.
Yeah, same thing. Rakshasas are more like man-eaters, those kind of.
Oh, so Rakshasas, because I thought you had said something different. But anyway, Tamas is Rakshasas and Yakshas.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Babu.
Hare Krishna. Jyoti Mataji.
Prabhuji, you mentioned about the Swarupa. So, could you please define what is Swarupa? Is it because when we define the absolute truth, the Brahmaeti and Paramatmaeti and Bhagwaneti, so in that, are you relating that term Swarupa to the Bhagwaneti concept?
No. When we are talking about Swarupa Shakti, it refers to his internal energy. And external energy, you know, the Lord has three energies. Internal energy through which he manifests everything that is spiritual, the spiritual world, his body, everything. And the external energy through which he manifests the material universe. And there is Tatastha Shakti, which is the Jivas. So when we are talking about internal energy, whether it is the Brahman feature or Paramatma feature or the Bhagavan feature, all of that is actually a manifestation of his Swarupa Shakti only, internal energy.
And Prabhuji, you mentioned about the faith. So the faith is when we practice, the faith is not flickering. It is flickering or it has to grow in bhakti, right? So when you define the faith on the path of bhakti, then the time is also influencing the faith. So could you please define, give example on this, how the faith is related to the time when we practice?
Well, time influences the modes and modes influence our conditioning. So faith, our faith is internal, but at the time of the day or the, you know, time can influence the external modes, which may create obstacles to our acting based on our faith. You know, our faith says, wake up early in the morning. Okay. But tamogun says, tamogun creates obstacle for that. You know, we may end up switching off our alarm and then sleeping for a short while like that. So that way, the time of the day, it can influence a particular mode. And it may create obstacles to our acting according to our faith. They may not directly affect our faith, actually. Okay. Lalitangi Radha Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for the wonderful classes, and this was definitely a very enriched khichdi with so much vegetables and ghee and very different. So Prabhuji, my question is maybe very silly and basic. Why should the Lord be expected to be impartial to asuras also? Because as we see, the asuras are not, the term defines that they don't follow the order of Vishnu. And they cause disruptions in the religious principles that dharmasya glani, that is against the Lord. So on what premise is it okay to, I'm just thinking how is it that we can say that he should be impartial also?
He is not expected to be impartial. The Lord can put his foot down and say, no more. I will not be impartial. He can choose to be. But the Lord chooses to be impartial out of his own volition. If he becomes partial, then it is literally like forcing everyone to surrender to him. Because you don't surrender to me, you have no choice. I am going to make you suffer. So if it becomes very obvious, then literally, you know, it will become, fear will be the cause of surrender. But actually Krishna wants people to surrender to him out of love and not due to fear. So Krishna is capable. Krishna is not obliged to be equal to all. But Krishna chooses to be out of his own sweet will.
That makes sense for me. Yeah. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Sukakar Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Balaram Prabhu, your topics are so good. Very, very important. Very delicate topics. Prabhu, I got some 2-3 things. The supreme world, there is no time. No time influence. There's no sunrise, sunset is always. And in the supreme world, there is no body, gross and subtle body. If that is the reason that no one will feel hungrier, no one will feel sleepy, they're always. So is that the reason that Haridas Thakur and all they were in the spiritual body, so they were just dancing, and whole night they were dancing. Again, the morning they get up and in this Siva Sangan. That is the reason that if the spiritual body is there, then you are beyond this.
In the spiritual world, there is time, but there is no material time, but there is spiritual time. There is sunrise, there is sunset, there is sunset, there is day, there is night. People sleep at night in the spiritual world also, because that is how, if you see in the Ashtakaliya Leela of Krishna, there are night pastimes and Krishna also sleeps. Krishna wakes up. But these things are not stimulated by the material modes. But they are all stimulated by love, and time does not actually stimulate particular modes. Actually, time, particular material modes, but the time stimulates different particular experience of a particular rasa in very many different flavors in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, because the perfected devotees have spiritual body which is not influenced by the material time and material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. That's the way they are able to overcome sleep and, function being unimpeded by, lack of sleep and other such things.
But here we are feeling sleepy because the digestion time, we're eating, all those things are making us lethargic and to wake up. So if we eat less, we can get up fast. So because of this material body, all these troubles.
Yeah, material body is because of our material attachment.
Prabhupada, this plane accident happens or big building falls, all are dying. That means all are in the same karma reaction. That's why Krishna is just finishing off at one go.
Yeah.
Plane crash.
There is no injustice. Yeah, yeah.
And one more question, Prabhu. How the good people in Sattvaguna dies in Corona? They are doing nice thing and suddenly it's a past prarabdha karma is taking them out, or Krishna wants them forced back home?
Yeah, if they are not devotees, it's Krishna never says that people in Sattvaguna and good people will never die. So what you see is not what they were. So if you see just before exam, someone is studying very sincerely, that does not mean he has studied very well throughout the year. So in this particular body, if you see someone is very nice, that does not mean in all their past lives they were very nice. So that's how we understand law of karma.
Like Tamal Krishna Maharaj died in accident. So he is a pure devotee, he was doing so many things. That means Krishna wanted and take him back home. And even Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Guru Maharaj said, Javtak Maharaj said, don't go to US. He said, I will go. Krishna is there. So he went back home. Those are all special Krishna's plan and arrangement to...
Is even for what to speak of such exalted devotees. Even ordinary devotees, their happiness and suffering is directly orchestrated by Krishna. It is not due to anyone's karma.
Thank you. This chapter was really good. The topic you took, Rajagun, Tamagun, Sattagun, also, you made a lot of clarity. Can you please send the notes, whatever you told?
Yes, no, it will be there.
Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Sudhakar Prabhu. Sudhakar Prabhu, you will have to unmute yourself and speak.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhu.
It was a very nice class explaining about the gunas and its relation to the time. I just want to know my understanding of this today's session, that the time is the main factor where the gunas act. The gunas don't act on their own. That's one thing I understood. If the time is the deciding factor, that means each jiva has their own time scale, like in terms of the three gunas. Is it my understanding right? Or it is the time is uniform for all? For example, like the time for the devatas, it is the sattva gun time, and for Rakshasas, there is a Satvagun time, but in different time, lag time. Is it this, my understanding
there are
right?
There are different types of cycles, right? There is daily yes. cycle, then there is monthly cycle, there are yearly cycles, you know, you have every day morning, evening, morning, afternoon, evening, night, that is one cycle. Then there is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday to Saturday, there is another cycle. Then there is January, February, March, April, that is another cycle. So, and then there is first year, second year, you know, like that. So, there are different types of cycles, and in different cycles also there are, it's not, you know, there are the influence of time and modes is like kind of dependent on all these different cycles. It's not just one. So, at some times the Sattvaguna over a long period of time is supposed to be more prominent, during which the devatas become more powerful. So
is this time scale fixed by the God for each and every jiva?
This is from a universal point of view. But for each and every jiva also, you know, they go through situations where sometimes they are put in situations where they encounter external situations which are highly tamoguni, like distressful situations, confusing situations like that. Or sometimes they are put in external situations which are highly rajoguni, where they have to slog for their exams or something like that. And sometimes they are put in situations which are highly sattvaguni also. So based on their karma also, for individual jivas, when there will be an external situation which is predominantly sattvic, rajasic or tamasic is also decided based on karma. So indirectly the Supreme Lord, directly the Supreme Lord does not decide. Through the agency of karma it is decided.
Okay. Because yesterday his class was, I was learning that the type of the bodies depends upon also the gunas. So,
yeah.
You know, I a little bit... I'm not clear when yesterday when I read like that. So when we say type of the bodies, means the human body or the general bodies you're talking about?
Any body, you know, animal body, plant body, based on one's karma, predominantly one may get, let's say, a tree body is said to be tamoguni body. But even though the body is tamoguni, in the early morning, it is conducive for sattva. So it is a living entity in a severely tamoguni body experiencing an external surge of sattva. So it all plays together actually. Whereas human bodies are predominantly in mode of passion. So even they can experience sattva early in the morning, rajas during the day like that.
So as a devotee, just as a small question, that means we cannot change the time pattern of the gunas actually, like when the Ramo, all the three gunas will act, we cannot decide. Or do you think that as a devotee, if we pray to the God, this can change?
We can change for strength to resist the influence of the lower modes. We cannot change that, you know, we cannot change the nature of, you know, the modes itself, you know, or the time when they would act. But we can pray for strength to overcome the influence of the lower modes. That we can do.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Okay, one last question. I don't think I have time to take the questions in the chat box. So, Prahladanand Prabhu, we will take one verbal question and I think we'll have to pause.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yes, Prabhu.
My question was regarding the spiritual time and the material time. I was just a little bit inquisitive about it because Brahma Sahita mentions Nime Sardhaka Vrakti Atrapina Samaya. So what's the difference between these two times defined as, you know, that's what I was wondering, if you can help me.
So the nature of material time is described in Bhagavatam. There are some, you know, and it is described as guna vyatikarakaro kalo. One of the natures of time is it agitates the three gunas, because when the three gunas get into action, then, you know, various things manifest because of that. But there is no three gunas in the spiritual world. So the spiritual time, okay. And the second thing is it instills fear. That is another symptom of material time, because it steals away things. Ayur harati vaipumsam, like that. So, but in the spiritual world, it does not steal anything. Even though sometimes for pastime purposes, for the purpose of experiencing the feeling of separation, time may sometimes give that perception, the spiritual world, just to assist the pastimes of Krishna and to help the devotees bring out their feelings of love towards Krishna. For that purpose, the spiritual time is existing in the spiritual world.
Okay, that's clear, Prabhuji. Thank you very much. Dhanvatana.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Okay, I think we will have to pause here, because even though there are many questions, I think we have limited time. So much about time. So we have limited all time also. So is that okay, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. We are very grateful to you. And we look forward for your association, Prabhu, again and again. Thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. Let us pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. We will end the call here. Ancha Kalpata Rupyasha Krupa Sindhu Vyarcha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Grantra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai His Grace Balaram Shakti Prabhuji Ki Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you everyone for joining. Sorry, I forgot to unmute everyone. Yeah. Thank you everyone for joining. Very grateful to all of you. Hare Krishna.
Nityananda.
Hare Krishna.